Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Live from the Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the V Show, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Bobby V.
Oh, come Hi. On. Welcome. Welcome to the V Show on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Late start today.
Yesterday was legitimate for a reason, because we were talking with the contractors. Today was absolutely inexcusable. I offer my apologies. Some of you say, well, that's not enough. Please offer your resignation. That's for another topic for another day. But we are here and delighted to be so. Congratulations to Donovan Mitchell, who's now extended. The Cavaliers have extended his contract. Donovan is very rich now. He's very rich.
Good for Donovan.
Yeah. You know, I watch those guys play. Sometimes it's very strange, because in your mind, most of us who grew up in a certain era have images of millionaires. You know, you picture, waddling with gray-haired guys with suits on, and yes, please bring the car around the front. You don't envision guys beating the crap out of each other in the low post. Millionaire.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, just looks a little different.
I think the money tied up with the Celtics starters are equal up over a little bit over $1 billion.
The billion with a B.
Jeez.
And they're selling the team, by the way, just for what it's worth.
They were like, all right, Jason Tatum, here's your contract, and we're up for sale.
And we're gone.
Look at Instant Bond, Alien Tape. Have you seen this? Have you seen this product? The guy, by the way, to me, I always look for the flaws in these commercials that don't work. It's this tapey thing that
right.
you put, and it'll hold, you know, you can hang your car on your wall if you want, but you can just take it off with a simple, boop, just pull it, and it comes right off.
I don't understand that.
Well, here's the problem. I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is, almost anything, you could lick it. You could lick the board, do lick and wipe, and stick it to the wall, and it'll stay for 2 seconds.
Right.
And that's all they show you. They don't show it. Come back in a week when everything that's on that shelf is now on the floor.
I kind of love that remote control thing.
What? What does he do with the remote control?
He sticks the remote controls to the table.
Yeah.
So they don't. Yeah. That's
we should do that in our house, because your mother.
Oh, God. Jeanette's the same way. She sleeps on the couch all the time.
Any place that happens to be in your hands when you're out of luck. See, I mean, so Alien Tape. Try aliantape.com. Free advertising again on our show.
You know, what we should do.
I would love to do one of those guys. Wait, let me just finish this thought, then keep your mind.
Yeah.
I would love to be one of those guys who does the feature where you try all this crap.
That's what I'm saying.
I would love to do that.
It would cost some money, but what we should do.
I'm just rolling in dough here.
Well, you should do it.
Maybe Donovan will pay for it.
You should do it. But we go to ACC Network. And we use, because Alien Tape's on ACC Network, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
And we try all of the products.
I want to try all of them.
And then we rate them. We should do that one day.
I would like to do that. But why don't we do it on our show so we get ratings?
Yeah, we should do that. That'd be a great summer radio day. We just order every product. Text in all the products that you've seen.
That you want to know if they work. And let us be your guinea pigs.
How many of them will we
jokes
do?
About that?
My favorite's Flex Seal with Phil Swift.
Oh, dude, Phil Swift is the
I saw this boat in half.
Flex Seal quasi works. I have it. It quasi works.
When he rides the boat.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
The screen, but the screen
that,
door.
That is so funny.
If you got a little leak and you want to seal it up, it'll work. Yeah. I don't know that I would do it while the water's gushing out. I love when he does that.
Yeah, just
here we are at Hoover Dam, and they're about to wipe out an entire town, but here I am. And he's got a piece of Flex Seal and slaps it up there, and he saves the whole day. Yeah,
guy's excited for
I love that guy. I love that guy. The guy that I have a love-hate relationship is Slap Chop.
Oh, Vince? I don't know where
because
he's been since he bit the hooker's
ass, and I think he was arrested.
He bit a hooker.
Oh, that was the ShamWow guy?
The ShamWow guy.
But I love the fact, I don't know how many takes it took, but when he was trying to show you to get rid of all your other appliances, and he flings it over his shoulder, and it goes right into the sink, I was like, that's...
That was a weird time for infomercial
It was a golden
Who's
era.
The guy who died?
Billy Mays.
The goat
died,
passed away. We still had Anthony Sullivan.
Yeah,
Anthony Sullivan, his boy.
Isn't he the guy that threw the thing in
the No. That was Vince. Vince was
ShamWow.
ShamWow and Slapchop. Like, Billy Mays was OxyClean and, like, everything else.
Yep. And he never used a mic, though. That was the best part.
So
everyone else
shouted.
Had, like, the little, like, he collar mic, and
he
was
he
like, hey, letter. Guys, I'm Billy
he just
Mays.
Just shouted, yeah.
I like, loved him.
There was... I just remember South Park did a thing where... Because there was a year when just a ton of celebrities passed away. And they're all like on the flight to heaven, and somebody yells at Billy Mays, and he just goes, "Hey, how about I come back there and kick your ass?" And it's just so funny.
Texas says, "Please, no Valvano's on the Thighmaster. No, we won't try that one.
No one.
No, I'm more of a gadget guy thing.
Oh, you are the.
No,
gadget
I love
guy.
Gadgets, and you know what? Some of them work.
No, some of them.
Some of them don't. But I mean, the ones that. I love the ones where it's like, here, just buy. They got a guy who's absolutely cut, buff, and you know, has obviously been working out hours a day for years, and he's got the Flumingo 620, and it takes your wrists and goes back and forth like this, and he's sitting there with no shirt on, and he's doing a little thing, and they say, the Flumingo, here it is, and I'm saying to myself, are you nuts? The guy could be eating a Twinkie, and you're going to convince us that the Twinkie machine, take 5 bites of the Twinkie every night, and you'll look like this.
I still remember.
It was with two easy steps, I can walk over there and kick you in the effing balls.
Yeah, that's right. That's the line.
That's the South Park Billy Mays.
I love that.
I was going to play it, but there's F words and whatnot.
No, you can't do that. There's three categories. Again, I'm always making categories. One is the ones that work. Yay. Hooray.
Right.
We love those. And we have some of those. So others are ones that actually work, but you say to yourself, what problem are they solving?
Right.
Like, you know, like the opening the milk carton thing. They had that thing that you like to stab the side of the milk. People couldn't open their milk cartons. Was that a big problem for the world?
I couldn't until I was like in eighth grade.
Well, then it was, but you were too young to order online, so it still didn't have a
there was. There
then
was
there were the blatant crazy stuff. Like, you want to go find stuff that doesn't work? Look up snoring devices. There's 9 million snoring devices, none of which.
Really?
No.
The machines are louder than people snoring.
No, not even the machines. No, CPAP machines.
CPAPs work.
No, these little plastic things.
That you put
and then
in
you
your
go.
Nose.
If you go to it, by the way, you have to be careful. Also, by the way, you have to be careful when you go to try and find out, do these things work? I learned this the hard way. You do a Google search. Does Snoremaster 27 work? Okay, and so then you say, all right, well, let me find an objective group. And so you're not going to find it on their website. Obviously,
right.
They're going to find people who say, oh, I snored like a Fred Flintstone, and now I'm fantastic. So you go, and then the headline will say, the Snoremaster 5000, is it a scam? You say, okay, well, this is what I'm looking for. Then you got to look very carefully at the little letter that says sponsored. It's the Snoremaster company. They take
yeah.
that, so they nip you in the bud before you get to the real objective ones.
Right.
And then you get in there, and they tell you at the end of it, no, it's not a scam. It's fantastic. So
sponsored by Snoremaster.
Yeah, it's exactly. Like, so there you go.
I'm just imagining Fred Flintstone. Yabba dabba doo. Yabba dabba doo.
Yeah, when it snores and pulls the drawer out of his dresser.
Right? Oh, that was Popeye.
Popeye did that,
yeah, I think Popeye did it. No, that was... I always love on the infomercials the black and white guy.
Yeah, that's
the guy or girl.
He
that,
can't.
Like,
I don't know how. Yo,
are you tired of having like
to
you
try
know,
and put your socks on? There is a thing for that too, you know.
Yeah, and the guy is just struggling. There was a great
that literally is. Have you seen that?
No, there's a for
there's a device
socks on?
To put your socks on.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Instead of bending down and putting your socks. In fairness, I feel bad if you're physically impaired and you can't reach down there. You put the sock on a gigantic stick. And you slide your toe in the stick, and then you pull the stick up.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Sock on.
That's neat. I like that.
There you go.
No, this is you got to be careful here. And I'm not trying to make light of mental health or anything like that. But it was intended to be funny. There's a college humor bit where it's it's black and white infomercial guy, and he is truly just struggling through life. And he's
everything in his
he's
day.
At the set for the commercial, and he opens the cabinet and all the plates fall on him. And then he tries to get in his car and he drops his keys in like a storm drain. And then he goes home and like he can't find the remote control. And his whole life is he is black and white guy. He struggles at everything. And his wife leaves him and he's just so sad. And it's terrible. It's dark. This is a dark sketch.
Oh, he doesn't wind up in color at the end?
No. And so it finally ends. He's so horribly depressed. And again, I'm being sensitive. It's just meant to be a joke. And his whole life is he's struggling. And it's like, can you not get in your car? Can you not open the cabinet? Is your wife leaving you? And it's all those things. Well, and it finally ends. And he's just depressed. And he's about to, commit suicide. He's about to, jump off the side of a building. And he misses. And it says, are you struggling to kill yourself? And it's just he can't win, the poor guy. But it was funny. College Humor had a really good sketch about that. It was good.
Jason Tatum agrees to a 5-year, $314 million deal. So congratulations to him. He's very wealthy now. Andy Murray, if you're a tennis fan, or even if you're not, it's not an if-then statement. What I'm going to say is true whether you like tennis or not, has withdrawn from singles at Wimbledon, but is still going to play in the doubles. So like all the rest of us,
didn't he have back issues?
He's got serious
issues. Yeah, he had back surgery not long ago.
And so now he'll play doubles, just like the rest of us who could play pickleball doubles, but we're not going to play singles because you're nuts.
Screw that.
What, are you nuts?
I was watching Wimbledon yesterday. I got cut from the restaurant, so I enjoyed a beer and watched a little bit of Wimbledon at the bar. They hit the ball so freaking hard.
You just noticed that now?
No. It's been
radar comes up and the guy serves it and it shows 125.
Dude, they were hitting it like 130 miles an hour. And I mean, but not even just the serves, just the shots. It's been a while since I've watched tennis and I was just like, oh my God, they hit this. They just are hitting
piss rockets at each other.
The only thing,
and here we go. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I step out to my front door and ask you nicely to get off my lawn. The problem is, it's like baseball. Baseball was strikeout, home run, strikeout, home run, strikeout, home run. And they're trying to help it a little bit. They put the shift rule in place, and you can't throw the first base more than once. It's speed up the game. Golf, I would like to see them do that. The par 5 holes are a joke. There are no par 5 holes anymore.
Oh, God,
unless they were 1,000 yards long.
They got to deaden the ball or something.
Well, use a restricted – that's what Nicklaus has been saying for years, but nobody will do that because there's too much money in convincing you as Joe average player. I'm playing with the same ball that Rory plays with.
Yeah, right.
But tennis, it's the same thing. There's very – I mean, when you used to watch McEnroe play and the guys of that era, Jimmy Connors playing with his old metal racket, they would rip the ball, but they also had to have a game where they could come to the net and have a deft touch. I mean, McEnroe played doubles.
A little finesse.
McEnroe played doubles largely so he wouldn't have to practice because doubles is a lot of volleying, and you had to be a great volleyer. Now it's rip a serve, stay in the back. Me and you are going to hit 110-mile-an-hour shots with top spin at each other until one of us makes the slightest bit of a mistake, and then I'm going to rip it down the line, and every point looks the same. It's a shame.
There was a really good volley. I think it was Skinner, the number one guy, the Italian. How you doing? With the most non-Italian name ever. He had a nice little volley with a guy, and there was a between-the-leg shot.
Rally.
Rally,
volley.
Yeah, rally.
No, you can say, I mean, volley.
Volley's volleyball. Sorry,
no,
right.
No, volley's when you get to the net and you hit the ball on the fly before it
passes. Right. Yeah. I knew that. But no, rally. That was the word I was looking for. You're right. But no, it was entertaining. There was good tennis yesterday. We have
that's
that.
Right. No, I shouldn't. I mean, if you go see it in person, like when I go to Cincinnati, I do enjoy it. It's just, I don't know. I'd like to see a little bit of the variety.
It was fun.
Even the women are out there ripping a spit.
Oh God, Coco Gauff hits it like I think a buck 20. She's smacking the crap out of it. We have a three with V today. We have a little bit of tennis sound.
We also have something I want to start with because I was listening coming in to your real show.
Thank you.
I want to see how fatigued you'd be to leave that and then come over here and slum with Tulio and I. But Maben was talking about, and you were chiming in. The first point I don't want to spend a lot of time on, but it's definitely true, because I played college soccer and I was dumbfounded about the way, especially, hate to say it, but the non-American players talk to each other on the field. It's mind-boggling. They think nothing of just
showing their teammates.
Not only
up.
Yelling, but gesturing, wildly gesturing, so that everybody watching knows, I think he's an ass. You know, that's, and then they gesture at each other. And
how did they, were there not more fights in the locker room?
So that's its own, but every sport's got its own mindset. You know, golf is different in a selfish way. Like, we would ride back in the van after the round, and it took me till I was at the end of my sophomore year to realize what if somebody says to you, "What'd you hit on 15?"
They just want to.
They don't really care. They just want to tell you what they did on 15. So when I started my junior year, I would come up with the most ridiculous answers to see if I could finally stop them. "What'd you hit on 15? "Oh, I didn't play 15. I just skipped it. I went right to 16.
I threw the ball, actually.
15. Oh, I set the guy from Old Dominion on fire. It was fun. We just watched him roast, and then we drove the carts into the lake. It was great. "Oh, yeah, what I did. Here's what I did. I faded it to a tee shot. So then they finally go like, "Oh, so I hit it. Wait, what? Yeah, okay. I was wondering. So anyway, all right, but that's not going to do that. What I was struck by, and I've never talked about this on the air, and I always was struck by it, because it feels like, especially when you have had a modest coaching career, and then you're talking about greats and, you know, and all-time greats. But I have to just tell you the truth. It was always something about this that bothered me, even when I coached. If you came in and got everybody in the locker room and said, "Okay, today our main objective, you don't need to ask anything other than how do I get 30 points? That's all I want. That's all you need to know is how do I get 30 points? Don't talk to me about anything else. Don't talk to me about minutes. How do I get 30 points?" You'd say, "That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard." But that guy is gauged. And if he says that that's how he's primarily gauged, by his scoring average, then for him, the most important thing is get 30 points. What is a coach defined by? He's defined by wins.
Right.
What is he doing when he comes to the locker room and says, "I don't care about anything else. What do you guys need to be concerned about?" Need to be concerned about winning the game. And we give him great kudos for being a leader of trying to get everybody on the same page. But in point of fact, his multimillion dollar house, his multimillion dollar contract, his private jet planes are all paid for by what? Wins.
Right.
And so when he comes in there and he's saying, "I know you guys, if you're not here to win games," what he's really doing is getting them all to play for him. I mean, that's the bottom line. I'm exaggerating it to a degree, because ultimately you can say, okay, what's he supposed to do? No, that's right. He's supposed to be, the leader of the whole group. So he's the group has to try and have one objective. That's fair. But having said that, my brother told me a long time ago, he said, if you get into it and you get a guy who has his career game, a wild, and I did. I had a guy who scored 44 points for us when I was at St. Mary's, and we lost on the road. And he said, if that guy scores 44 points and, afterwards he doesn't seem absolutely devastated by the fact they lost, give him a little slack, because he's a human being. That's going to be a night he's never had in his life before, and probably will never again. Doesn't mean he comes on the bus and brings out his guitar and starts, "Oh, let's all gather on. Oh, Susanna. Oh, don't you cry." No, not saying that. But and he probably would be a little pissed off you lost, because then he can't really enjoy it the way he'd like to.
Right.
But you got to kind of give a little slack to that. So it's coaches are in there and they're telling everybody, got to win. It's all about us. It's all about us. It's about us. He's kind of really saying it's all about me.
So
I got a big payment coming up on that house. We got to get this win. We got to win. Who's they winning for? They're winning for you. I tried to make sure we're on the same page and we wanted to win. But there was always, when I hear these great coaches come in and they're just berating the guys, beating them, because that's what you were talking about, coaches that are just beating them to death. I'm like, he's beating him to death for himself. If a guy came in and started throwing chairs around because I didn't get 30, I'm supposed to get 30 today, damn it. I should have 30 against this team. You'd say, what a selfish jackass this guy is. And instead, oh, my Lord. I knew we lost, but I didn't see how we lost. The U.S. is eliminated from Copa America.
Oh, we have some sound from Alexi Lalas.
Fun fact, that's my dad's college roommate. So
Alexi Lalas?
Yeah.
No, I love Alexi Lalas.
Yeah, no, he's the man. He had a full ride scholarship to play hockey at Minnesota, and he went to Rutgers to play soccer.
Great.
Then he became an all-time U.S. great.
U.S. has lost 5 times in 9 matches for the first time since 2018. And the thing I'm struck by is we our ranking in the world is still not terrible. We're 11th, which is, we like to win, but that's not awful. But I do wonder how, like, for example, nobody in this country that, and I use that term advisedly, not obviously not nobody, but you could drive around for days and not find a field where they're playing cricket. And yet, we're 17th in the world in cricket.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And soccer, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a youth league and a field and a, and this and that. And everybody's got reasons why we can't get it going. And I don't know that I buy any of them anymore. Well, we don't have academies. Well, we have academies now. That was Entz's answer to everything. Got to have academies. We have to have these academies. We have academies.
Barker, barker, barker.
Get the academies. Stop playing in college. College sucks. Play in academies. Well, we got academies and we still aren't doing anything. Well, they play around the world. We don't have a league here that's great. Well, everywhere in the world, they got guys playing in other countries because they're in great demand. So they all have to come back.
We have the best soccer player in our league, too, right now. Messi.
Yeah, that's a good point, but he's not. He can't play for our national team.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Be real cool if he could.
But, I mean, they got guys that all have to go play in these other leagues, and then they, when they come back, because, well, we can't ever work together because they're all playing around the world, and well, the other leagues are doing that, too. I mean, the MLS is a minor league soccer team league on the world scale. It's it's the best men's league we have here, and I like it, and I'm a fan of it, but it's not. So they always say, well, that's why. So they all have to go away and play somewhere else. Well, you know who else goes away to play? The U.S. women's basketball team. They seem to do okay. So, you know, it doesn't make any sense about why we are no good. Because we all said this when we saw the grouping for this Copa. What did we all say? Oh, man, well, they got to be able to get out of that group.
Right.
They're not even going to get out of the group stage.
Nope.
They're Our cricket not team went farther.
Get... I'm sorry?
Our cricket team went
Our
farther.
Our cricket team went way further. Yeah, I mean, they made it to the Elite Eight. They're going. And that was on the world. That was a world stage. This is a regional tournament. Yeah, I mean, I don't get it. It's unbelievable.
They didn't get a good whistle last night. But still, they had opportunities. Like, part of the three with V, we have some sound from Alexi Lalas, because
he's very outspoken about everything.
He is.
He's like Mikey. He hates everything. Well, you got it. Teed up. Play it.
Well, I was going to say, it's him. Part of the three with V.
Yeah, we'll hear it again later. So good. Play twice.
You talked about learning from losing, okay? I think what we have learned over these cycles is that this team is not able to do anything better than has done in the past. And that hurts. That hurts to say, because that was not what was promised and not what for many we believed was going to happen with this team. Because if this is as good as it gets, it's not good enough. And there's plenty of excuses, but they don't matter. You know, you can talk about opportunities. Well, we have players that are playing all over the world. Talk about playing in Europe. Well, the entire team that you saw out there plays in Europe. So it's not MLS's fault. You can talk about, you know, the pathways and the resources that they have. No generation has been given more. And yet this generation hasn't lived up to that bargain. And when it comes to Greg Berhalter, we heard Stu Holden say it's exactly right. You know, I know there's a sport in firing coaches in all professional sports. And I know the knives are out, and they should be, because this is not good enough from Greg Berhalter. And you have to ask yourself, with 2026 coming barreling down the pike, it's going to come real quick.
Less than 2 years away,
Bob. All right? We can't afford to waste it. We can't afford to be embarrassed. And we can't afford to arrive in the summer of 26 with a team that has not progressed, that has not evolved, and has not improved. And I'm sure if Greg Berhalter was here, he would say, oh, but you don't see what's happening inside. I don't give a crap what is happening inside. I don't care about the dynamic. I don't care how much your players love you. I don't care how kumbaya it is. All I care about is I see a U.S. men's national team that is better than before. And we haven't seen that, and that's a problem going forward.
Is that on the players? Is that on the manager? Is that on the federation? Where are we saying you need to be better?
Well, the players certainly need to be better. You know,
do you think this generation of players has what it takes? Like, do you think that they have that deep inside of them?
I think there's a couple of them. I think they are better soccer players, but ultimately, I don't think that they're better U.S. men's national team players.
Let's go to the locker room.
Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya.
Well, I didn't realize we had a
postgame.
The U.S. men's national team.
There's the sound from the locker room. And Wallace doesn't care about that, but I think they sound great. Yeah, so that's it. Kumbaya. Said a lot of things. I didn't hear him say that, so I'm not making it sound like, wow, what makes me a genius. But I'm just saying, yeah, I said the same thing. He makes some points I didn't even think of. I was like, yeah, that's true, too. They're all playing in Europe. This argument, well, you know, our players aren't playing against the best competition. Yeah, they are. I mean, they're doing what everybody else is doing. The only thing I'll say is this proves my point, I believe, that the second hardest thing is to win. I said this before. The hardest thing to do is to win after a prolonged period of losing. Because there is something about the psychology in your head that you don't expect to win. You hope to win. You think you can win. But you don't expect to win because you haven't won. And they haven't won. They just haven't won. And so in moments like this, you lose 1-0 games, which in soccer is like getting beat 10-0. What difference does it make? You're going home. So, you know, that is a very strange phenomenon. That, in effect, I don't think we place as much of an emphasis on international competitions as other countries.
Like, yeah,
when I lived
true.
In Sweden, if the I've said this before, the badminton team was in an international event, it was on the front page of the sports page. That, hey, our national team's playing, hey. And you could say, well, maybe that's because they're a small country and it's their way.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, we don't pay but in, like in England, in Italy, in all those places, in Italy, national teams really struggle now too. But they place great emphasis on their national team, the Brazilian national team. My God, the history
oh, God,
and tradition.
Yeah.
We don't place much emphasis on any of it. We only started to pay attention to it in basketball when we started getting beat. We started when
right.
we send our B teams. Now we send our A team, and it's a little different scenario. And so, but you know, it's not ingrained in us. We place our emphasis on our professional domestic teams.
Yeah,
and so you know maybe that's part of it. I don't know, but I do know that. It is tough to watch them. The fact they didn't even get out of the group stage of this. Now, he's won this event before, and he finished runner-up, I think, the coach. So he's not like he's fallen on his face every time. But this was, very unforeseen by me because I was one of those. When the grouping came out, the draw, I was like, wow, they're in a group. They got to be able to get – I think you have to get in the top two, right?
Yeah.
So they got to be able to get in the top two of this. Then there's no chance already. They're done. Eliminated. Go home. Pack your bags. Very, very, very disappointing.
2026 is supposed to be Team USA's year because that's what for
oh to actually win games.
No, to actually win in the World Cup. It's supposed to be what it's like. Pulisic. I'm trying to think some of the other national guys that this is our best crop
Wawa.
Of talent, and
we're
they're
getting
so,
a Wawa here in Louisville.
And they're supposed to be in their prime. This is the year where
yeah,
they're not kids. This was supposed to be, and they are not. Looking super good.
And we'll see.
Than 2 years away from the World Cup.
Disappointing, to say the least. So, by the way, I wish the men would go to the colored ball. Don't you love to watch the jump shooters with the colored ball?
I will say.
Because when Louis Dampier used to play here when I watched some as a kid, shoot that red, white, and blue ball.
Oh, for the ABA. Oh,
it was gorgeous. It would just set the perfect rotation. You almost got mad when they shot it without the seams set up on the side.
Yeah.
Because you can't always get it
teed
up like a free throw. So then it would be spinning. Be like, that doesn't look as pretty. Get the ball lined up in your hands. Yeah, come on. So there's that. Also, by the way, I learned this yesterday. Steffi Graf and Andre Agassi, they're married.
Yes.
And they made two babies.
Right.
The daughter is like in fashion, but the kid, neither one of them have any interest in playing tennis.
Okay. Good for them.
The boy, though, is a very highly touted pitcher at USC.
Really?
And they think he's got a chance to make it in the majors. At least that's what I read. Now, I don't know. It's on the internet. Might have been an old story. He may already be out. I don't know. But, he certainly has some athletic genes.
Yeah, I mean.
No question about that. So he doesn't pitch the way he throws it up.
Have you seen that, by the way? Tennis, baseball?
Yeah, I have.
It looks like fun.
Wild.
It looks pretty fun.
Yeah, the first baseman has a mitt.
Yeah.
But, like, the pitcher has a back. I watched him pick a guy off.
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
Yeah.
He turns, he hits it, the guy, they pick him off first.
Right.
It's a little different.
The catcher does the same thing. He picked a guy off.
He did? He catches it, then he throws it, and he hits it with the
record. Yeah, and then he,
It's a bunch of different games out there, no question about that. Still, though, the strangest new game that I've stumbled on, and you know I take great pride in knowing how these obscure games are played. We talked about it on the show. I was talking with, who was I talking about it with?
Nate, Jeff Lightsey Jr.
No, he was just here yesterday hosting.
Godby.
Godby, that's right. I couldn't place where I was talking with him. It was in the break room. We were just talking in general. He plays a lot of pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, have you ever heard of Padel? He said, Padel Castro? No, not Padel. And that is a game that if you've not seen it, you got to go look at it online because it's played in a fenced-in court. The fence is out. You can't hit the ball on the fence on a fly. Like you know, paddleball, the walls are in.
Yeah.
But you're on the same side. Racquetball, I mean.
You're on the same side. I know what you
This one, there's a net, and you're opposite each other. So you can hit it off the fence, but you can't hit it off the fence on a fly. That's the difference. In racquetball, obviously, you're trying to hit the wall. Here, you got to hit it in the court, and then the ball can hit the fence, and then you could play it off the fence and hit it back. And because there's only about 6 inches outside where the court ends to where the fence is. It's a bona fide fence. But the coolest thing about it, I don't know who came up with this. This is one of those things I wonder when they're inventing the game. Like cornhole, you can understand. Cornhole was, hey, let's try. Everybody's tried to throw crap in a hole.
Yeah, right.
Put that in a big stick. But I mean, you know, you would throw paper in a basket, in a wastebasket. You're always trying to throw things into targets. So there's no, people play washers. Same deal. You try to throw washers in a
right.
in a little target. Okay. Even to some degree, you can understand how pickleball came to being. Because there's probably a wiffle ball sitting on the kid's yard. Somebody had a racket, a paddle ball, and they started hitting it, and they invent the game, and you got a game. But who said, I got an idea for tennis? All right. We'll put a court, and we'll be able to use the sidewalls. Well, that's racquetball. No, we'll put them on opposite sides. All right, that's a little different, but it's not. But here's the thing. We'll put an exit on each side of the court. What for? So the players can get on and off the court? Oh, no. So that if the ball bounces and goes over the fence, the guy can run out and play it from the other side of the fence. Are you nuts, Jose? No, it'll be good. Try it. Trust me, it'll be good. And that's what they have. The Padel court has exits on each side at both ends, on the side. And if a guy hits a spikes one or something and it goes over the fence, the guy runs out on the other side and plays it back over the fence onto the court. That, my friends, is A, imagination, and B, very strange.
Yeah.
That's very strange. I like it, though. I love odd games. Like the game in Finland, I'm telling you, I love
that.
Oh, the
one where they toss it up?
You throw it up in the air. You don't have to worry about an umpire with a strike zone. There's a big circle on the ground. It's made of metal, I guess, so if the ball hits it, you can hear it.
Right.
It's like the softball leagues that play that. They put that thing in the back, and that's so called strikes. The guy throws it up in the air, and then as it comes down, the guy has to hit it like a baseball player. And then similar to baseball, he hits it. The bases are laid out weirdly. It's like if you imagine a baseball diamond, it's like he runs to third, and then he goes to second, and then he comes all the way around, then he comes back.
It's a very weird
setup.
Very strange.
I've watched him play. It looks fun. I would like to try that, but I don't know where in the world you do that. I am going to try cricket, though, by hook or by crook before I die.
No, you got to try cricket.
I'm going to try cricket. But that is, Padel is the strangest game that I've stumbled on recent years. We did that on the old radio show. We had people phone in, and the strangest sport they thought, at that time, which now I don't think they feel anymore, was curling. Because you're watching the guys sliding, guys running with a broom, and they're yelling and
screaming. You know, screaming not yelling. They are screaming. It's usually like the Norwegian teams.
Hurry hard! Yeah. No! I don't know what the hell they're yelling. But the second one to me is even stranger, honest to God. And that is luge.
Well, I've always said
that sport is terrifying to watch.
All right, let's think about it. We have a bobsled. You sit in that, and the guy steers it, and they have a brake,
right.
And you're facing where you're going. And then Klaus said, have idea. How about go down backwards? Okay. Can you see where you're going? No. All right. Well, can you steer it? No. So what do? You lay there and hang on for dear life. Okay. And who wins? Just like bobsled. Get there first.
Well, then
Hans, you were born in Detroit. Why are you talking like that? but he lays back. He can't see where he's going. And then my understanding is I don't even know how they maneuver it. I guess they shift their weight a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm convinced it was a guy that fell down. He fell down on a trash can cover. And then he went down the hill and that was exhilarating. Let's make that an event. And so
I've long since said.
Breaks into the room. Guys.
Guys.
I have an idea. Please wear a helmet, though.
And then, 15, 20 years later, an American went, bro, what if we do it head first?
Skeleton.
And then they do it skeleton.
And they called it that because the first guy who did it at the end of the event became a skeleton because he went headlong into the metal podium. Yeah, but that you can steer at least, and you can see where you're going. I mean,
I don't know. There's something about going head first, like 120
miles an hour. 100 miles an hour, whatever, how fast they're going, it's not going to make a whole hell of a difference if your feet are first or your head is first. I mean, you're in deep trouble. But at least that one you can steer. This one, they're laying back. It's really bizarre. It's truly.
I just don't know how you practice it. Like, I remember there was an Olympic commercial where there was a guy and he would just he was laying on top of a car just to get used to the speed. And he'd be like, all right, go. And then they would drive it on the highway and he's just.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
was it a joke or is that?
I don't know. That was the thing. I don't know what you know, if it was a joke or what. But he was like in like California and he's like on. He's on like the highway and he's just strapped to the top of this car and he's like practicing. I don't know. But I've long since said that the Winter Olympics are the drunken cousin of the Summer Olympics because the events in the Winter Olympics are insane. We've already talked about curling. All right, let's get these 80-pound stones and throw them on ice that's pebbled. And use Swiffers to try to maneuver them. Okay, cool. All right, let's go 120 miles an hour down a frozen tube. We'll do it head first. We'll do it feet first. We'll do doubles. Hey, you know, we'll have two people on the luge laying on top of one another, uncomfortably close in skin-tight clothing. Yeah, okay, that'll be great. All right, what about, they have the decathlon, 10 events in the Summer Olympics.
Let's have a guy.
All right, well, yeah, but... 10's a lot. What if we just do two? Okay, cool. So, like, what two events will we do in the biathlon?
Cross-country skiing and rifle.
And rifle. Okay. So, we're going to shoot and ski. Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? Like, but no, seriously. Like, the Winter Olympics, honestly, are
there
like...
There is actually another event that's kind of like a Winter Olympic decathlon more than that. That's the biathlon. There's another... event, I think, that's like combines all the different skiing disciplines.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, you got to do a slalom course and then a downhill or something. It's not the combined. It's a. It's got a different name. I don't know what it's called, but we have to find.
Hey, they got the long jump in track and field. What if we just send a skier down this enormous hill and launch him about 200 feet into the air?
Yeah. We're terrible at the Winter Olympics too, by the way. Yeah, well, by and large,
Norway kicks our ass.
We know it's near the medal, but then the Summer Games come, we either win or second or right up there all the time. By the way, another thing about coaching: look at my phone. Nick, what's your phone?
No, what'd Biscuit say? All right,
is it suitable for air?
Winter biathlon. Yeah, no, exactly. Thank you, Biscuit. The Winter biathlon.
I said that biathlon.
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah.
I don't need no Biscuit helping me. I need to come on training wheels. What's going on here? Let's see. The Nordic combined, that's it.
Oh, okay.
The Nordic combined is skiing and ski jumping. Ski jumping. Because the Norwegians and the Nordic people said, we just can't get enough skiing. They used to televise cross-country skiing in Sweden. That is a painful thing to watch. We only got three TV stations. We didn't know anything that was going on, so we loved sporting events. At least we could figure out what's going on. And you watch a guy, and he's running his skis. Runs his skis. Then they get to little hills, and they tuck down,
yeah.
And they go down, and then they start running again. It's like, wow.
It's sort of like the speed walking competition.
Yeah, that's another strange one. Here's the Winter Olympic Games. Sports, alpine skiing, biathlon, bobsled, cross-country skiing, curling, figure skating, freestyle skiing, ice hockey, luge, Nordic combined, short track speed skating, skeleton, that's what you just talked about, ski jumping, ski mountaineering, what the hell is that? What's ski mountaineering?
I have no idea.
What the hell is ski mountaineering? Often referred to as skimo. Oh.
Skimo, that sounds
competitor
cool.
Ski uphill. I'm not kidding you. Competitors ski uphill and downhill and use mountaineering abilities to race through snow-covered mountains. So this guy was like, not going down. Again, I'm going to make them all speak broken English because that's my thing. Not going down.
Going up.
Going to ski up. Olaf, ski up. Okay, Olaf, we'll see you tomorrow.
I was
going up.
I feel so bad because there's all these wacky sports and then there's hockey. And hockey's just there. And they're like, yeah, our sport kind of makes a lot more sense compared to you guys. Like,
I wish
they got a team. Like,
yeah.
You need Bandy in the Winter Olympics. Now you're talking.
No, we need Bandy. No, because I looked this up. I looked at former events. They like because I looked and saw that the Summer Olympics is literally like 3 to 4 times bigger than the Winter Olympics. And I was like, the Winter Olympics need some more events. And I think they need to add Bandy. They need to bring back ice boat racing.
Oh, dear God.
That sounds lit, as the kids say. I think they stopped it because it was unsafe.
Yeah, well, generally, it's events that kill people that I like to do. There were 5 original Winter Olympic sports consisting of 9 disciplines. Would you like to guess what they are? Stoplight challenge.
Speed skating?
Skating is not just speed skating. Skating had various disciplines, figure skating and speed skating. So we'll give you credit for that. That's one.
Okay. Now, are we talking about short track or long track speed skating?
Oh, that's skating. All the skating events are done. That's okay. Done. Check. Done. You got that.
Okay. Ski jumping.
Do we give them partial credit?
Downhill skiing?
Nordic skiing. The disciplines were military patrol, cross-country skiing, Nordic combined, and ski jumping. So okay. We'll give you that. So that's 2.
Hockey.
Hockey's 3. 2 to go.
Ice boat racing.
No.
Damn.
So determined to get that in there.
Bobsled?
Bobsled. Which is technically listed as bobsleigh.
Bobsleigh.
S-L-E-I-G-H. Not bobsled. We say bobsledding, but it's actually
bobsled. I think they should bring back, the Iditarod. You know, but I think...
They don't even back. They never had that in the Olympics.
No. But I'm saying, I think they need to... you're right, not bring it back, but they need to introduce dog sled racing.
Okay. All right. Last one event to go.
Let's see. Skiing, skating, hockey, bobsled. Biathlon?
No. Biathlon is under the Nordic combined.
Okay.
I only focus on
curling?
Hockey.
Curling?
Ah, wait. I do like curling, though.
Curling. I like curling, too. Very cool.
We played a game in Lake Placid. And
oh, you curled?
No. Well, no. I wish. But I'm getting there. It was not the 1980 rink, but it was like the... What was the curling rink for the Winter Olympics in the 1980s? Mm-hmm. But they turned into an ice rink. But they still had the curling
dots and stuff.
Dots and stuff. So we my line scored a goal, and we had a celebration where one of us threw our glove on the ice, and the other two would have to shave the ice.
That's
and
awesome.
And we got back to the bench, and our coach was like, "Hey, don't ever do that again." And I was like, "We're having fun. I'm sorry."
That's a great celebration.
I actually dropped. Here we go. Name dropping in. The guy hates it. We did a game. Dave Fleming, who's the San Francisco Giants announcer, and I did a college basketball game at Weber State. And it's right near the Olympic training site for the U.S. curling team.
Nice.
And so, but like Tulio's talking about, it's a rink that's open to the public other times, but it has the painting down. And we make it such a big deal about, God, I'd love to go. We went to see it. And I said, God, we'd love to try it. He said, well, I can, if you got a few minutes, I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you can't, it's not played on regular ice. They have a special hose that pebbles the ice. So that's why when you see the guy take the shot, it's sliding and you hear that puck, it's going.
Right.
It's going over little pebbles. I guess that's to slow it down. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But but the ice has to be pebbled.
Right.
So there was a bunch of courts. I don't know what you refer to them, but whatever they're called. And he did one half of one for us.
Mm-hmm.
He said, trust me, you're not going to want to try and do the whole length of the, because they would have the feet things out when you could push yourself.
Right.
So he got us 2 stones each, and he said, pick them up outside the rink, because if you try to pick them up on the ice, you will flip yourself on your head and kill yourself, because they're that heavy. So he was right. So we carried him in from the outside, waddled over to one spot, and it's really hard to get it down to the other end.
You really got to hoof it.
Oh, my God. I mean, we're bowlers, so I was cranking it up, still didn't get it there. So the last one I chucked and barely got to the other. So I understand why he didn't want us to go the whole length of it. But the first of all, they're incredibly heavy. Secondly,
how heavy are they?
I don't know. What does this curling stone weigh? 50 pounds or something? I don't know. It's heavy. I mean, you got to remember, a very heavy bowling ball is 16 pounds. A curling stone weighs no less than 38 pounds.
Jeez.
Yes, so it's a big boy. It's fun. It was, but I would love to try it for
38
real.
38 to 44 pounds.
Yeah.
Good
less
Lord.
Than 38 pounds. And when they hit, they make that noise.
Yeah.
We didn't hit. Neither one of us, trust me. But I could say I did it. Got to try. In my suit. We're dressed to go to the game. And he and I both in shirt and tie, take our jackets off and go give it a go.
Say, you're lucky you didn't
rip your
pants.
That was awfully nice of them to do that. I mean, I guess they pushed the public skaters off to just, we gave us a little corner of the rink so we could try it. But I would love to try it. But at least I can say I tried it.
Well, we can do it at Alpine, and they have an actual pebbler.
You know, I assume they do. You can't play it without it.
Yeah, so no, they do it official over there.
Yeah, we need to get involved in that. And cricket. Let's try. And get Tom Hamilton. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back
there
here.
It's
a Tuesday. We're here today, here tomorrow. Gone Thursday, gone Friday. Gone for the 4th of July.
Can't wait. My favorite holiday.
Cinco, Cuatro de Julio.
There you go.
Yeah, which is where Tulio's going. Tulio, they can do a commercial. Hi, Tulio for Cuatro de Julio.
I have thought about doing like not an ad, but like a rejoin where like instead of like you're listening to the Bob out, like all that, like I want to do it in Spanish and just see how many people like text in like, when do we get ESPN Deportes on here? But like,
is that Lieberman? He back from his vacation?
Oh yeah, Weebs is joining. 2 o'clock hour. Oh. Completely forgot about that.
I love he doesn't tell
completely
me anything about
forgot.
The show.
Well, no, I booked him yesterday.
Well, that's not going to work because you just booked the umpire too.
Oh yeah.
So
Weebs, do you want to do now? Yeah, no, Weebs said he can do now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah,
well, Weebs. Now I'm all prepared, considering I didn't even know he was coming, and now you just said he's in the hall. Bring him
hey,
in.
Hey, yeah, it's 2 o'clock.
I completely forgot. I'm sorry. I completely
forgot.
Yeah, Bob, forgot,
we got Leaves at 2. Actually, it's now.
Yeah, we got Leaves, and Tom Hamilton's right on the other side. Tom Hamilton in the hall.
Well, because Kesty might be joining us, too.
Sure.
It's a very busy day.
Why not?
And we got Neil Knuckles Greenberg at 1:40.
I don't know any of these things.
I did.
I know nothing about any of this.
I feel really bad.
Swear.
I slept late today. I'm already on vacation mode for the holiday. I apologize. I apologize. This is all on me. Just great producing and
Nick,
terrible organization.
30 people in the lobby. Oh, I forgot. I booked the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Oh, that Drew has been mad at me about a handful of things. Like a lot. Like there's been times when. Like the angriest Jason ever got at me, and you know he got on me about some stuff, you know, as he should have, you know, starting out program director, he got mad at me about missing an ID on a Reds game and stuff because I was in the bathroom, you know. But the angriest he ever got at me was when I cooked eggs in the break room and the smell was so strong it almost made him sick, like to the point he was like, Nick, if you do that again, I'm firing you. And I was like, whoa. And like,
man, you should have wished he did. You'd have ownership of the station. I don't think you fire a guy for cooking eggs.
But that was the thing. Like, Jason never got mad. So it was like one of those things. Like, if he's actually mad, it's like, ooh, wow, I'm actually going to listen to this. So I never cooked eggs back there again. Drew. Sorry. And I'm 100% in the wrong here. This is totally my fault. 100% my fault. I booked a field trip for a school to come in and shadow the radio and completely forgot about it. And I slept late. And so Drew was doing the show. And Drew hates people watching him by his own admission. And all of a sudden, 25 elementary school kids are outside the window with their noses pressed up to the window. And Drew is like, the hell is this? And then he texted me. He goes, did you have something to do with this? And I was like,
yes.
I slept through my alarm. And I remember his response was, that's not something adults say, Nick. And I was like, yeah, my bad. I'll be there in a second. He was like, what did you do? And so I come running in. And I'm like, hey, kids, who wants to learn radio? And Drew was so pissed off. Understandably, I was 100%. That was my blow. 100% my bad. Sorry about that. But I just remember getting the text from Drew. As I was listening, I was driving in there, and Drew is talking to Blank about something. He goes, something's happening outside the station. And I was like, oh, I forgot about the field trip. So a bunch of little kids, these fresh-faced kids.
Excuse me, Mr. Man with the big head, is that good business to show up when you want, or should you be there like when the show starts? I want to get into radio, but I kind of like that you can just come and go when you want to. No, that's not really how you do it. That's what he did. That's what the big-headed kid did.
Yeah. Hi, kids. Yeah, not my finest work. Not my finest hour there.
All right, we'll take a break, and I don't know what the hell we're doing because I'm on a need-to-know basis, evidently. So stay with us. It's ESPN 680, 105.7 on a Tuesday.